Hallelujah. God is good. And y'all look good. Everybody looks good. Pass somebody on the back. Say, you looking good today. All right. Yeah. Yeah. The people of God, we are blessed. Amen. Doesn't matter what things look like around us.
You're looking good today.
Aw, thank you. So are you. Thank you. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Father. The Lord definitely has something to say to us today. I've had just a word stirring in my spirit for several days now. It's been over a week, and just meditating on it. God, what do you want to do with this? And so I know the Lord wants to speak to us this morning. He wants to encourage us. He wants to encourage us. So let's just take a minute. Let's just pray in the Spirit to stir up that anointing, to stir up our listening ears, our spirits. Adre de veja la robo romon de lengride kende la ravata, la barre de gite la radoto borre de gezisa, e de dioto loro da cate paparro porre de, idre de gejan da la romon color romon de le de dita, arre de veji la radaga badobro de grede kita, edro do borro bor la re de ketiv ratasa. Father, we thank you for your anointing that is in the house, your Holy Spirit that is within and flowing to and through each one of us. Father, I thank you that you've brought us together today for this special occasion to speak to our hearts, to encourage us. Father, to paint a vision and a picture of what you are doing before us so that we rise up and possess everything that you have promised us, Father. We are a people of promise, a people of blessing. And we are possessing, Father, we are not doing this in our own strength, but we are pursuing you, following after you. Father, we desire to be pleasing to you. And as you do all your good pleasure, that we cooperate in that process. So Holy Spirit, teach us today. Flow through each one of us. Flow through each listener, Father. Flow through this speaker. Let your anointing address everything that is in your heart to share with your people today, Father, that we would all leave blessed, encouraged, strengthened, so that we can function in being the blessing you've called us to be. And we'll be careful to give you all the glory and the honor and the praise. You are worthy, Lord. You are worthy, worthy, worthy. Thank you, Father. We thank you, Lord, for your anointing. We thank you, Lord, for your anointing. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. I see us. We're right on the cusp. We're right on the edge of something amazing, something that we have seen to some extent in our spirits, but it's bigger than we think it is. And some of us can think pretty big. But it's bigger than we think it is. There are things being released right now in the Spirit. There is action being required of us. And some of us don't really know what it is we're supposed to do. We're supposed to be doing something. God, what is it? What is it? What is it? What is it? And he's building, and he's building, and he's building within you. And suddenly, you're going to wake up with an idea. You're going to wake up with a thought. You're going to wake up with a direction. You're going to wake up with something to put your hands to. Some of you are already there, and we're still coming into a greater revelation of that. But this is an exciting time right now. An exciting time right now. And if you look at the news, they're going to tell you it's a confusing time. And if you try to look at the culture and the economy, they're going to tell you that it's a challenging time. But I am here to tell you that the word of the Lord says this is our time. This is our season. This is the time to see everything that God has promised. We are coming into those things. And it's not just, we're just going to sit back and money's going to rain down from heaven and everybody's going to be blessed. God's going to take care of us. We are going to walk in those blessings and in that abundance, but it's because we chose to put our hands to what he called us to put our hands to. You see, the blessing comes as you go, as you walk, as you put your hands to what he's called you to, that's where your provision is. That's where your healing is. That's where your blessing is. When Paul was going through so many of his trials, he went through the shipwreck, and then there was the snake bite. Did he sit down and say, Lord, what am I doing wrong? Y'all remember that, right? Did he sit down and say, God, I just need to pray harder. I need to pray harder. No, he shook it off. He said, I got a job to do. I have a word from the Lord. He said, do this, and I'm going to do this, and I don't care what a snake does. I'm going to shake it off, and I'm going to keep going. Because there is provision, there is protection when you walk in your purpose. There is provision, and there is protection when you walk in your purpose. And I see a people who are doing that right now, and this is an exciting time. Amen. It's not in my notes anywhere. But God is good. God is good. So I want to talk to you today about stewarding with attitude. Last week, we talked about the things that God has given us in this house to put our hands to. The parts of the vision that he's called us to steward. Now, I know it's going to grow. There's going to be more as we go, more things that he brings to us. But he talked about raising up mothers and fathers in the spirit. He talked about raising up sons and daughters, and your sons and daughters will prophesy. Hallelujah. Can y'all see your sons and daughters doing that? It's a promise to you. You can possess that. That's what the word says. So he's given us these visions. He's given us Botswana. He has given us that country. I don't know if you noticed, we've put up the scripture back here across the maps. They're in a different place. From Psalms, where it says, ask of me and I will give you the nations for an inheritance. I have asked for Botswana. What do I want with Botswana? I want to see it turned around. I want to see godly young men and women raised up in places of government, in places of economy. I want to see the work of the enemy that has been so prevalent there, even in the church, shut down. I want to see righteousness raised up. And then I want to see it spread to the rest of the continent. Now, God has promised us that he would raise us up as we put our hands to what he's called us to. So that's one of the things we're putting our hands to. And the Lord said, I am raising up resources there, and I'm raising up resources here. So I am decreeing to you today what the Lord has said, that the resources, everything that is needed for that is being raised up. You know, a lot of the things that need to go forth over there, they're birthed in the spirit, but then they're manifested in the natural. And in the natural, those things take money. But you know what? I'm not worried about it, because God said, I will take care of it. I am raising it up. So as we put our hands to it, I'm expecting those resources to be raised up. And if God is speaking to you about giving in that area, know that when you obey, you will be blessed and your needs will be taken care of. So we are stewarding that vision in Botswana. We are stewarding KLTTC, Kingdom Life Training and Transformation Center. We want to see the world transformed to living that abundant life. But we're putting our hands to it now. So we're stewarding all of those things, but there are ways to steward. And that's what we're going to talk about today. Attitude is something that we must cultivate. It is a choice. The more we choose to keep a good attitude, the easier it is to do it. It's like a habit. You get yourself in the habit of something, and then it doesn't take up brain space trying to figure out, where did I put my purse? What did I do with my keys? I can't find them. I don't know what. If you always come in and put it right here, you always put your keys right here, you get in a habit of always keeping that stuff right here, then you don't have to think about it anymore. Your brain space can be taken up with, where are my shoes? Or whatever else it is. But when you make a habit, you don't have to worry with that particular situation anymore. You just do it. It becomes part of your nature. We don't have to think about it anymore. So that's how a good attitude is. If you will practice choosing constantly, no matter what happens, to have a good attitude, it will become easier. Even when things go wrong, you will be able to continue without the drama. How many of you would love to live drama-free? How many of you create your own drama? I got to be honest. I could be a drama queen. But you know what? Even when that's happening, I don't like it. Because usually the drama is the negative drama, the woe is me. Oh, my goodness, what's going to happen? All this bad stuff. So I don't like living that way. I want to choose peace. But, you know, sometimes it comes on you before you realize it. But if you will ask the Holy Spirit, He will begin to show you, here comes, here's your opportunity. And eventually you'll see it coming and you'll be able to say, you know what, I'm just not going to do that today. I'm not going there. I'm not going to do the drama. I'm going to do what the Word says. My God supplies all of my needs. I am the healed of the Lord. I walk in the peace and joy of the Lord. And you begin to make those choices. Those choices. That is what faith should accomplish in us. That when the things hit that would bring out the drama, faith rises up and says, God took care of that. God's already made a way for you. God's going to work that out. God knows how those people at work talk to you. He's not surprised. He's not happy about it either, but He said that He would be your vindication. He said He would defend you. God's going to take care of you. God's got it. So if we really trust God, then why the drama? Trust me. I deal with this every day. There is no finger of judgment here pointed at anyone. I'm just throwing it out because I think you and I probably face the same things. Why? Why the drama? Because we have not made a firm choice that no matter what, I'm going to smile. No matter what, I'm going to expect the best because I trust God. That's what faith should accomplish in us. But you know what? It's a process. Like anything else, you don't just get saved and you come to the altar and you make Jesus Lord and whoo, all of a sudden everything's roses. That's usually when the stuff happens. Why? Because we have an enemy. We have an enemy. He is here. He has been defeated, but he has not yet been locked up away from us. So he is trying to see how many of us he can take down with us. I am not going down. I am not going down. So we can choose these things. We should be processing that. When we know that we love God, how many of you love God? Amen. You love God. Yes. Then you know what? The Word says that everything's going to work out for your good. Amen. All things. Is there anything not included in all? That kind of covers all. All things work together for my good just because I love Him. Isn't that an encouragement and a blessing? Something worth reminding ourselves of? That God is in control. He's going to take care of these things. So if we have that promise, is there really a good reason for a bad attitude? Now, I'm going somewhere with this. We're going to get into the Word because I want to encourage you. This is not meant, y'all need to straighten up. This is meant, it's going to bring you joy when you learn this process. There's going to be freedom when you learn to walk here. Because as we are taking on new levels, we need to be mastering these principles. We need to be understanding that, you know, taping day for KLTTC with, you know, 38 people here is going to go a whole lot better if everybody's got a good attitude. It's all right. It's okay. It's going to be good. It's going to be fine. We're here. We're rejoicing in the work of the Lord. That is the attitude that translates into kingdom life. Life abundant. But I'm thankful that God is gracious and He is patient with us, and He understands that growing to that place of constancy takes time and practice. You know, sometimes it's like riding a bicycle, and you keep getting on and you crash, and you get on again and you crash, and you get on again and you crash. But hopefully each crash is not quite as bad as the last one. And eventually, all of a sudden you realize, Daddy let go and I'm riding. I'm going. We're learning and growing to that place. So God is faithful, and it doesn't matter how the day started out. At any point that you want to say, God, I need to rewind my attitude right now. I'm going to choose right now to get it straight. I've already chewed out 4 people, and I threw a fit, and I had a temper tantrum, but your grace covers me. And right now, I'm going to choose to let your Holy Spirit empower me and walk in grace. Any second of any day, you could do that. You know, it's not like the, what's the diet philosophy? That once you blow it, well, I've messed up today, so I may as well go ahead and finish off the ding-dongs and the Twinkies and the chips and queso and have some fried chicken. And, you know, at any second, get it right. Get it straight. God, show me how to do this, and He will. So looking in Romans chapter 12 and verse 11, there's enough to chew on in this verse that we could work out for a few weeks. It says, never lag in zeal and earnest endeavor. Don't be sluggish or slothful in the way you do things. This is a combination of translations. So if you're trying to read along, it's part King James, part Amplified Classic. But he says, never lag in zeal and earnest endeavor. Don't be sluggish or slothful in the way you do things, but be fervent. Be fervent. Do you know what fervent means? It means to glow. Like, you know how you turn on the electric stove and that burner just turns red? That's fervency. That's passion. That's like always on and motivated, full of zeal. The desire to accomplish God's purpose. He said, never lag, never fall behind in zeal. Don't become sluggish and slothful. What is that? Slow. Slow to do it. Oh, it's time to get up and go to assembly today. I don't want to. You know, we talk about not letting those words out of our mouth. How about we not let that attitude out of our face? Do we have to, or do we get to? It's a whole different attitude when you think about it that way. The opportunities that we have. Never lag in zeal and earnest endeavor. Aglow and burning with the Spirit, serving the Lord. In other words, serve the Lord and live your life with passion. Care about what you're doing and do it with care. How many of you remember how Pastor Jim drilled excellence into us? Excellence, excellence. If you see a piece of paper, pick it up. This is your house. Take care of it. You see trash out front, pick it up. This is your house. Take care of it. You may not have the best car in the world, but you can keep it clean. You can keep it nice. Take care of it. Excellence, excellence, excellence. When it becomes a habit, then you just live that way. You don't have to think, oh, I got to put that happy face on, and what is it I'm supposed to do? No, you practiced it. You've practiced it because it will bring you joy. The choices you make determine the world that you live in. And we can have people on this side saying, it's a beautiful day, it's raining outside, and I love the rain. How glorious is that? It's a wonderful time to be about serving the Lord. He's doing amazing things. And then the people over here are like, man, did I want to sleep today? Why did I have to get out of bed? This is awful. It's yucky outside. I don't like it. I don't want to. And these people both have the same bills to pay, the same challenges. They had to walk through the same mud that you did. The same things going on in our lives, but it's the choice that we make. And I want you to understand that it is a choice. There is an anointing that we walk in, and there are times that it flows freely and times that you may not feel it. But God didn't say, if you will spend X amount of time in my presence, I will recharge you to this point, and then you won't have to worry about feeling bad. You won't have to worry about what comes out of your mouth. You'll just be on autopilot, happy all the time, because I will make you do that. And if he did that, we would not be the free will servants that we are. So it's our choice. Paul said, you, that understood subject, you never lag in zeal. Don't fall behind. Don't become slothful. So care about what you're doing and do it with care. There's a saying, it says, if you're going to be a bear, be a grizzly. Y'all know what that means? Go big or go home. Are we going to do this with everything that's in us, or just a little bit and halfway? We're not going to see the results, and you're not going to walk in the joy. Sometimes we have to possess that joy. We call out for joy. Joy? Come on now. I'm expecting joy today. I'm going to walk like I have it. I'm going to expect it. And begin to put into practice the things that joyful people do. They don't complain. They don't worry. They don't fuss. They don't get upset. Learning how to cultivate that attitude. Paul is exhorting the people to do this. He doesn't say to pray and hopefully God will endow you with his attitude. He says, be this. Colossians 3:23. Whatever may be your task. Now he's just finished addressing moms and dads and servants and employers and husbands and wives. He's addressed all of these different stations in life. And he says, whatever may be your task, work at it heartily. As something done for the Lord and not for men. Is he just talking about ministering the gospel? Is he just talking about leading praise and worship? Oh, we do that as unto the Lord. But what about, I don't know, cleaning off the table after dinner? What about hanging your clothes up when you get home? Whatever you do, you're working in the nursery, you're up here Saturday morning. Some of you don't realize that there are a lot of people that will come here on Saturdays at 9 o'clock in the morning and clean the church. And they're scrubbing toilets. And they're cleaning up the stuff that your kids left in the carpet. And they do it with joy. And we walk in and I've never heard them complaining. They're here because they're excited to be a blessing. That's the attitude. Whatever you do. Because, you know, the word says that if you're faithful in the little things, he'll make you ruler over much. And if you can't rejoice in cleaning the toilets and cleaning up around the house, it's not likely that he's going to loose you into your own ministry with your name and lights somewhere someday. Were you faithful in the little stuff? And what was your attitude when you did it? Work at it heartily. Do it with all your heart as unto the Lord, because he rewards. If we're only working for the man, then we only get what he can give. But God's rewards are in this lifetime and eternal. And when we do everything that we do as unto him, he rewards us. He blesses us. Amen? He doesn't say if you're ministering, do it as unto the Lord. He says whatever, anything that you do. That shows an attitude, not just when you're working in your passion or your calling, but everything. Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 19 says, if you are willing and obedient, you will eat the good of the land. It's not just about obedience. Well, I'm here. He said, I have to come to church. I'm here. It's what you said you wanted. You got it. I'm here. Willing. God, whatever it takes to see you move in this assembly, I'm willing. If you want me to come stand down front, Remember the time Pastor Jim talked about where the Lord told him to go up front and lay on the floor? Really, God? Nobody else is doing that. They're going to think I'm strange. But because he was obedient and he was willing, he said, okay, God, whatever it takes, I am willing. And they saw a move of the Spirit in that assembly because of his willingness, a willing heart. If we obey but we don't have a right heart, things may not go well for us. And it's up to us to keep our hearts right. It is up to us. The word says to guard your heart with all diligence, because from it are the issues of life. Life abundant. Kingdom life, training and transformation center. Where's the life? Are we existing or are we living? 1 Corinthians 15:58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be firm, steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, always being superior, excelling, doing more than enough in the service of the Lord, knowing and being continually aware that your labor is not futile. It is never wasted or to no purpose. Be firm, be steadfast. Let your word be your word. If I say I'll be there, be there. Always abounding. Always abounding. You know, we have the DNA of our Father. We are his children. We are like him. And he is more than enough. So it's not strange that he would ask us to always do and be more than enough. He's just saying, take on my nature. Do things the way that I would. Being more than enough, being superior, excelling, doing more than enough in the service of the Lord, because we know there's blessing, there's reward, and that's where you're going to find your joy. What we do and the way we do it have eternal effects. It affects now, it affects what we do, it affects the people around us. And it affects our eternity, not our salvation. Please understand, I'm not talking about working your way into heaven. Once you've received him as your Savior and you love the Lord with all of your heart, it's guaranteed. God has already made a place for you and accepted you, and he loves you just like you are. But I'm thankful that he loved me enough not to leave me like I was. He loved me enough to say, let me show you a better way. While you're here, there's a better way to live. There's a better attitude to have. And a way that you can enjoy life and show other people. I remember Dr. Lemon. I used to crack up at this. Y'all remember him, Dr. Bob Lemon? He has gone on to his reward, but he used to talk about when he was a good Baptist, is what he said. And he said he was in pain all the time. He had awful arthritis. His hands were twisted and so many issues going on. And he said, we would go out. If y'all know him, you can picture his face. And we would knock on the door. And basically, in essence, we're saying, we're Christians. Don't y'all want to come be like us? And strangely enough, people would just close the door in their face. Because they really, you know, they were like, you know what? You got all the same problems I do, and then you have to go to all those meetings all the time. That just doesn't sound any better. What's the life that we're exemplifying? Is it really life? Is it really life? So I want to encourage you now that I've said, be this and do this and have this and show this and act like this. I want to encourage you from the word of the Lord, because God doesn't tell us to do anything that he doesn't equip us. So there's some equipment we need to take up to do this. I don't want you walking out of here thinking, wow, I got to rethink my whole life, figure out how to do this. No, there's a way, and it's already been laid for us in the Word. So we're going to look at some of these tools and this equipment that he's given us so that we can. In Philippians chapter 2, You know, verse 12, he talks about working out your own salvation. Work out your relationship and the living of it with God. Work that out with him. But then he says in verse 13, chapter 2 and verse 13, not in your own strength. Not in your own strength. Hallelujah. Because there are some days that what strength? As if I had any strength. But not in your own strength, for it is God who is working in you, energizing you, and creating inside of you the power and the desire to will and to work for his good pleasure. So he wants to work in us to allow us to do that, but we have to choose it. We have to choose that walk. It's not just a special anointing from the outside that hits you upside the head and bam, you're a smiling robot. It's something that he's working on the inside of you. He's working it out within you. There is strength within you. His strength is made perfect in our weakness. So we're drawing from that well. God is working in you. I love that part where it says he is energizing you. How many of you wake up in the morning and you're like, energize me. Energize me, Lord. I need some energy. Well, you have a promise to draw on. Before you even woke up, God knew you needed it. So he's already working. Cooperate with the process. You can't just lay your phone down next to the charger and say, charge, come on, charge. You have to connect. You have to hook up. God, I need your strength today. So I'm plugging into your presence right now. And I thank you for your anointing that's working this out in me to see a way to walk in your joy today. To see a way to walk in life and exemplify it today. God, it only comes from you. I can't work it up in and of myself. But I know you're working in me. So I'm going to choose to cooperate with that process. So when we find ourselves unable to do those things, or even before we start each day, we need to spend time with the one who is working on the inside of us. Spend time in his presence to cooperate with that work. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 9. This can be encouraging and this can be frustrating. Because he says, be not weary in well-doing, knowing that you will reap if you don't faint, if you don't give up, if you don't quit, you will reap. So don't be weary. And some days you start off thinking, well, it's too late. Guess what? I got weary. I'm not supposed to. The word says don't be weary, but you know what? Sometimes weary happens. But what did Jesus say? He said in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, he said, come to me, all of you who are weary. You know, it's interesting. He tells us later, don't be weary. But guess what? If it happens, if it comes upon you unawares, come to me and I will give you rest, supernatural rest. There are times that I go to bed at 4 o'clock in the morning and I have to get up at 7. And I'll say, God, I need some supernatural rest tonight. And he will multiply your sleep. Have you ever heard of that? Just ask God to multiply that rest. God, I've got 10 minutes to sit here and close my eyes. And then I got a lot of stuff to take care of. And you know where I've been and what I've done. But I know you are my sustenance. So I'm asking you to multiply this 10 minutes and make it more like 60. So that I can be rested. And he will do that. Come to me. Come to me. What have we talked about? Rebuilding the temple, that place where the presence of God dwells within you. Revisit that place. That is your source of life. That is your source of strength. Come to me, Jesus said. Come to me. How do you do that? Read the word. Put on some praise music. and just begin to exalt the Lord. Talk to him. Jesus, help me. He is a very present help for us. But we have to come to him to receive that. So when we need that rest, we go to him, but he takes it a step further. And this is something where God's really been working in me, and I believe it's going to bless you, because he goes further in there in Matthew 11 and verse 29. And he says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Learn of me. For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your spirit, for your soul, for your soul. How many of you find yourself just looping and looping over these thoughts? And I don't know why they said that, and what do they mean when they said that, and did they think I meant this, and what's going to happen now, and so-and-so's upset with me, and I don't know what's wrong, and this is going on, and I don't know how we're going to get the bills paid, and da-da-da-da-da, and you just find it going and going and going. And Jesus said, come to me, I'll give you rest. But then, learn of me, do it my way. And you don't have to keep coming back to this place. Learn a new way. Some of us want to do things the way we've always done it. We want to think the way we've always thought. And we want the rest of the world to be like us. And when they don't cooperate, here we go. And Jesus says, you need to learn a new way of doing things. A new way of thinking, a new way of speaking. You know how you get stories and, I don't know, children's books, sometimes videos, and they have an alternate ending. And they let you choose, you know, do you want it to go this way? The heroine does this and happily ever after. Do you want it to go this way? And the heroine dies and everybody cries. But, you know, there's alternate endings. What if there were a different way to think about what you're going through? They could bring you peace. And into a place of restoration with whatever that thing is that's going on that you need. What if, and you'll hear the Holy Spirit whisper this, Miss Mary, he'll say, what if instead of saying this, you say this? Say this, not that, you know? Do this, not that. And the Holy Spirit will begin to show you how to order your thought process, which orders your doing in a way that you can actually find joy and peace in the middle of what you thought was one of the most difficult things you've ever gone through. There is a way. I remember when God told me, I will always take care of you. And you can go through it crying and wringing your hands and worrying and wondering and wondering and wondering, or you can go through it with peace. You can go through it with joy. True. I'm not talking about just put a smile on your face anyway. I'm not talking about fake it till you make it. The power of God is real, and his ways produce when we choose to walk in his ways. So what if there's a better way? What if there's a different way to think about this? The Holy Spirit is our teacher, and he wants to teach us those things. But Jesus said, you got to come to me and learn of me. There are many things that we can teach up here. We have excellent ministers here teaching the Word of God, teaching us in the Word of God. But it's different when you have somebody that's right there with you in the situation trying to show you how to swing that golf club and hit the golf. You can read books. You can watch videos. You can learn everything that the mind can know about it. But when you've got somebody there showing you how to keep that swing straight, how far back, showing you while you're doing it, training you in the process, telling you how to make what you know up here come out here. That's what we have on the inside of us, the Holy Spirit. He wants to train us in joyful living. He wants to train us in excellence. He wants to train us how to have a good attitude, because people are watching you. And they're watching you say, I'm a believer, I trust God. And they watch you with your head down and you're frowning and you're fussing and problems and this and that. And they're thinking, I'm not sure that's working like you think it's supposed to be working. We go through tough times, please. Please know that I understand that every day I am not buckets of sunshine, okay? But I'm learning. I'm in the process. I'm learning. And God is so faithful. God is so faithful. Many times we are the source of our own angst. It's not the circumstance around us. It's how we approach things. It's how we think about it. The assumptions that we make or the preconceived ideas that we have. But the Holy Spirit wants to show us a better way. Let's look at Zechariah chapter 4 and verse 6. And this is the word of the Lord that's coming to Zerubbabel. Then he said to me, this addition of the bowl to the candlestick, causing it to yield a ceaseless supply of oil from the olive trees, is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, saying, not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, of whom the oil is a symbol. Think about yourself as that candle or that candlestick, but you are in a ceaseless supply of oil. So that when you're burning, it's not in your own strength. It's His oil. It's His supply that's coming forth. You know, we talk about burnout. And I remember Pastor Jim saying, there's no such thing as burnout for a believer. Not if you're doing it right. Because we should be burning with His oil. Not by my might. Not by my power. But by His Spirit. The anointing oil that flows through me. That's what I function on. And did you see it says a ceaseless supply? What happens? Sometimes we climb out of the bowl. We get away from that supply and we think, oh, I got this. You know, the word says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. But sometimes we think, but that's just for the big stuff when it gets really hard. I got this. I know how to do this. I can handle this. And then, bam, you hit a brick wall with something that you didn't see coming. And you're like, how did that happen? And God said, you got out of through Christ who strengthens me. You got out of the supply of oil that comes from the Holy Spirit. When we're trying to work from our own strength, we run out. But we can't burn out when we burn with His oil, with what He says to do. Now, sometimes we've put our hands to things and God's like, yon, yon, I didn't tell you to do that one. You have to work that one out. But when we're obedient to where He puts us, there is a ceaseless supply of oil by His anointing, by His Spirit. Ephesians 5:19 says, continually be being filled with the Spirit. The King James just says, be filled. But the tense there in the Greek is like a continual process of being filled, coming to Him. Lord, fill me anew right now. Because I'm pretty sure I used up everything I had about 5 minutes ago when that happened. I need more. But when we come to Him, it is a ceaseless supply. His strength, His anointing. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1 says, lay aside the weight. That's not necessarily sin. He said, lay aside the weight and the sin. Oh, so there's stuff that's not sin, but it's a weight. Lay aside that weight. It's the things that keep us from being free, from being able to choose joy and peace. It's the things we worry about, the things we carry that aren't ours to carry. But we think we're being irresponsible if we're not worried about it. We think we're not taking care of business if we're not carrying that person or that need within us, conscious of a problem. I have to worry about this. If I don't worry about it, who's going to worry about it? Ah, that's the wrong way to see it. God said, I've already taken care of these things for you. So let not your heart be troubled. So the things that trouble us, the things that we worry about, those are weights. And we have to choose to lay those things aside. Corinthians 10:23, Paul said, all things are lawful, but not all things are helpful, expedient, or constructive. There may be some things that you are doing, that you are thinking about, that you're carrying, that you're trying to fix and take care of. And God's like, well, you know, it's not sin. It's not going to keep you out of heaven, but it keeps you from running the race. It keeps you from being competitive, if you will, against the enemy. It keeps you from making the progress. It keeps you from rising as a light that God has called you to do. God says you got to cut it free. You got to let it go. That's faith. That's trust. God, I don't know how these bills are going to get paid, and I'm trying to get a fourth and a fifth job, and I'm doing everything I can. And he said, well, why don't you stop and let me do what I can? Because I can do miracles, signs and wonders that you're not expecting. But as long as we're carrying that weight, we can't go where we need to go. So we have to let those things go, lay those things aside. I want to share with you, and I think I shared this last week, but I want to share it again. As we are stewarding these things, stewarding this life that God has given us, stewarding the things that he's placed in our individual lives and in House of the Lord Fellowship Church, we need to understand how important this is. We need to understand what's at stake. This is not just about your salvation and you going to heaven. That's sealed, check, done. But there's a job to do. We have a commission. He said to go into all the world and take the message of the gospel of the kingdom. He said, you are the one that I've called to do that. I've given you everything you need to accomplish it. But you need to understand how important it is to be doing in the right place, doing the right thing with the right attitude and the right tools. We need to understand the importance of that. Isaiah chapter 60 and verse 3. Talks about nations will come to your light and kings to the brightness of your rising. We are rising. House of the Lord is rising right now. We are in a position of rising. Last week in prayer, I heard the Lord say, lift up your heads, O ye gates, and swing wide, you everlasting doors, that the King of glory may come in. Lift up the heavy hands that hang down. Lift up your hands in the holy place and bless the Lord. Do not allow oppression to come in, but arise and shine, for your light has come and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. So shake off weariness. Shake off despair. Do not allow the lies of the enemy to keep you there. But rise in me, knowing that weeping may have endured for the night, but joy comes in the morning. And the Lord said, I say it is morning. Morning is upon us. And we are the light that is rising. And as we are rising, there are more eyes on us. More people will see us. And what will they see? Will they see the light of the glory of God shining through? That's my heart. Not our perfection. Not our, oh, aren't we good? Aren't we wonderful? But just the fact that we love God so much, it just oozes out of every pore. His presence overflows onto those that are around us. That's what the world needs to see. I saw this when we were in prayer last night. I didn't share it because I wanted it to be a surprise today. But as we were praying, I just began to have, it was like movie reels running in my head. And I saw a helicopter and the propellers started up. And then I saw an airplane and it was taxiing down the runway, just about to take off. And then I saw a ship as it was cutting anchor, not pulling it in, saying, I'm going to take this with me, saying, nope, we're not coming back to this. We're leaving the port. We're cutting this anchor. We're cutting this weight. And it was pulling away. And he said, it won't be long. We are pulling into that place. Now, some of us thought, well, I expected this to happen and this to happen first before God would do this. all of the things that God has promised are going to happen on His timeline as we go. But we need to understand that go has been said. And we are going somewhere in the kingdom. We are accomplishing things. We are producing truth in action. It is our time and our season to do this. And He's given many of us, He's given everyone assignments, something to put your hands to. Know that this is the time. There's no more waiting. And we are rising. We are in that place. But when you see that plane taxiing down the runway, how many of you understand what the attitude of an airplane is? It's the relationship, vertical and horizontal, to the horizon. If it's not in the right attitude, it doesn't get to take off, or it doesn't get to land, or it doesn't get to continue where it's supposed to. It has to have the right attitude long ways. If you're aiming up, you're going to soar. Your attitude is down, you're coming down. That's how that works. What's your attitude? What is your attitude? And when you're, what do they call it, banking? If it's turning and you're flying, it's going to look crossways to the horizon. Your attitude is going to be different than what you see around you. But that's so you can go somewhere else. See, God is taking us somewhere. We have to have the right attitude so that we can soar above everything that would try to beset us and come against us. And He's given us a way to do that. So we have to be that example. Our lives matter. Take your life seriously and seriously choose to live with passion and purpose, always abounding in the work of the Lord, making those decisions that become a habit to choose joy, to choose life. Pursue everything that God has promised you. Those promises are not just about bettering your life. They show others the faithfulness of God. When they see you receiving God's blessings, they realize it's possible. Well, who am I to expect that God would heal me? You're the one He died for. He wants you healed. My motivation to be healed is not because I hurt. Oh, it's in me. I don't like to hurt. But I possess healing because Jesus died to give it to me. And when I possess healing, somebody else sees it's possible. So possessing your promises, possessing your abundance, possessing everything God gave you is very important because the world needs to see people winning. The world needs to see that in the midst of COVID and riots and unrest and challenging economies, we're not worried. It's all going to be fine. Everything's going to work out for my good. Why? Because I checked off all the boxes? Please. As if we could. Because Jesus checked them all for us. So the world is waiting for us to possess that. So that we can exemplify His life by the fervency and the passion with which we do all that we do. Amen? Amen. Father, I thank You that You are working in us right now. Father, and everyone that's here, everyone that's listening on live stream, Father, everyone that hears this, that Your Spirit is working within us, energizing us, creating within us the power and the desire to do Your good pleasure. God, there are some days we don't want to, but You said if we don't have a willing heart, that You would give us one. And we want to be made willing, Father. So You are working in us, strengthening us, enlivening us, teaching us a better way, a higher way, so that we can walk in Your way, Father, walk in Your joy, in Your peace, in Your strength, in Your blessings, so that the world will see that You are a good God, that You do love Your children, that You do desire us to be at peace and rest. So I thank You today, Father, for the heart of every person here, that there is peace, that there is rest, that there is joy, there is understanding, that we are learning to hear on the inside of us from our teacher, from you, Holy Spirit, as you instruct us. And we will seek your face with all diligence. And we will come to you if we grow weary. And we will draw on that anointing and your strength that is made perfect in our weakness. And we thank you, Father, that as we continue and that as we do not quit, that we win. We thank you for victory, victory, victory in the house. Victory in the house for your people, Lord. And we give you all the praise. Thank you, Father.
I'm just looking for the attitude on faces. We have a choice. Choose wisely. You know, well, I ain't going to re-preach it. God is good, though. I know that. That makes everything else all right. God is good all the time. Hallelujah. Well, Tuesday night, we're going to experience some more of God's goodness because I know he has given y'all the ability and the talent to cook good food. And we're going to meet together. Hopefully we'll be here all by 6:30 and bring your food. If you haven't signed up, there's sign-up sheets out in the back. Put that on there so we'll have an idea of what we're going to have. But come and let's just enjoy the family together. Probably won't have, we'll put some music on, but we probably won't have any singing. I don't know, we might. But we're going to definitely enjoy the fellowship. I don't know if y'all have noticed it or not, but lately, 30 minutes after we dismiss, there's still people standing around talking. And Brother Steve, Steve is a busy person. He is a busy man, and he's ready to move on to the next thing. He'll run us out, and then he'll cut the lights off, lock everything up. We drive around, and there's people standing in the parking lot still talking. Come on inside this Tuesday and let's fellowship around some food and continue our conversations just like family would do. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Stand with me. Hallelujah. 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 Praise the name of the Lord. Praise you, Father. Praise you, Father. I call you blessed. I say that you are children of the Most High God. You're taught of the Lord, and great is your peace because of it. That everywhere you go, you are the light of the world, and darkness is dispelled because you show up. And because of you are the presence, the aroma of the presence of God, when you show up, the presence and the aroma of God shows up. People can sense and smell the kingdom of God on you. And they are drawn to the goodness of God. Everything you put your hand to is prosperous and successful. You're surrounded with favor and with grace. And in all of your ways, you are blessed. You are loved. You are equipped to live a life of joy and happiness, hilarity, laughter, and peace. You are blessed to be a blessing. Go with God. We will see you Tuesday at 6:30. Don't forget your food. (Clears throat)